So the next presentation is given by Vitaly Feldmayer about why the dimension is going to strike back.
Thank you, Ulrike. I'm Vitaly Feldmayer, and I'm going to talk about understanding of generalization in stochastic convex optimization. Let me start with a high-level view of this work. Let's say you have a learning problem in which the convex function, in which the loss function is a convex function of some parameter. Such learning problem is an instance of stochastic convex optimization. Now assume that you're given a data set which consists of n points drawn ID from some distribution D. A standard way to solve this learning problem given the data is to use empirical risk minimization. In this case, it's relatively easy to do because our problem is convex, and there are many algorithms which will find the solution efficiently. Now, this is a learning problem, and therefore the question is whether the solution will generalize to the underlying distribution. In other words, what is the generalization error of this algorithm? In this work, I show that in some of the most basic settings of stochastic convex optimization, the generalization error of the solution to ERM can be much worse than the generalization error of alternative algorithms, such as stochastic gradient descent. How much worse? I show that it can grow linearly with the dimension d of the convex problem, even though other approaches give solutions with a generalization error that is dimension independent. Now let me give you the details of these results and also tell you why I think they're interesting. So let me start by defining the stochastic convex optimization formally. These problems are described by a convex body K in D dimensions and also by a class F of convex functions over this over K. The input to the problem is a set of convex functions which is drawn ID from some unknown distribution D over this class of functions F. The goal of this problem is to minimize the empirical objective function that is defined as the pointwise expectation of a function drawn from distribution D. This is a very general formulation, and you will see some specific settings a bit later. Stochastic convex optimization has lots of applications, especially in machine learning and statistics. Most of you probably know this already, but let me describe how a typical learning problem can be seen as an instance of stochastic convex optimization. For example, supervised learning is usually modeled as follows. You are given a data set which consists of points drawn ID from some unknown distribution D, and you also have a set of hypotheses parameterized by a vector X. For example, a neural network is parameterized by the vector of weights on its connections. The goal in this problem is to find a hypothesis which minimizes the true loss, where the true loss is the expectation of some loss function on an example drawn from this unknown distribution D. A different way to look at the same problem is to notice that each example that you have observed defines a function of this parameter X which measures the error of the hypothesis parameterized by X on that example. Seen from this point of view, the data set can be seen as consisting of functions drawn randomly from some distribution, and the expected function for this distribution is exactly the true loss of hypothesis parameterized by X that we are trying to minimize. Now, if this loss function is a convex function of the parameter X, then the problem is an instance of stochastic convex optimization. Similarly, problems in unsupervised learning, density estimation, and so on can be seen as instances of stochastic convex optimization. So how do we solve these problems? Classic and popular approach is to use empirical risk minimization. In this approach, given a set S of functions, we compute the empirical objective function, which is just the average of the given functions. We then optimize this empirical objective. This approach has been studied extensively in machine learning theory, and in most settings that it has been studied, it is known to be essentially optimal. It gives essentially optimal error. The problem that is addressed in this work is how well this approach works for stochastic convex optimization. In other words, how close is the value returned of the expected objective on the solution to the ARM is to the true minimum of the expected objective. It is not hard to see that for ARM, this question boils down to the question of how large is the generalization error of the solution to ARM, where generalization error is just the difference between the expected objective and the empirical objective. Let's see what's known for this problem. And for this purpose, let's focus on specific well-studied setting of stochastic convex optimization referred to as L2 Lipschitz bounded. In this setting, our convex body is just the unit ball in d dimensions in Euclidean norm. And the class F is all convex one Lipschitz functions over this unit ball. The only upper bounds on the generalization error of ARM in this setting is that it is at most square root of d over n. This upper bound has a relatively poor dependence on d because it means that in order to achieve small generalization error, we need number of examples which scales linearly with the dimension d. We do have some better bounds in important special cases such as linear models and strongly convex functions. The question of lower bounds on generalization error was first considered in a groundbreaking work of Shalev Schwartz, Shamir, Srebro, and Sridharan, who showed that ARM might have generalization error that is at least log d over n. In other words, it is impossible to achieve completely dimension independent upper bound. While this is obviously very important progress, it still leaves a very large gap between the upper and lower bound. In fact, it only rules out a relatively mild dependence on the dimension d. And this is exactly the question addressed in this work. Can these bounds be improved? And the main result is a new lower bound, which shows that ARM might have generalization error that is as large as d over n. This means that in order to achieve small generalization error, you need number of samples which grows linearly with the dimension d, as in the known upper bound. The reason why an earlier lower bound and this improvement are surprising is that there are standard algorithms that can solve the same problem with much better generalization error. For example, it can be done using the famous stochastic gradient descent and also by adding a small, strongly convex regularizing term to the empirical objective. So this basically means that even in those in this basic setting of stochastic convex optimization, ARM can be very far from optimal. And this has a very important implication that the generalization error of a solution produced by an optimization algorithm depends on the algorithm itself and not just on the value of the empirical objective that it achieves. This means that in order to design algorithms which solve learning problems well in practice, we need to understand which optimization algorithms produce solutions that generalize well. Unfortunately, this looks like a very hard question, and we have relatively few techniques to address it, but I hope that this work will motivate additional research on this. Now let me tell you a bit about the proof of this lower bound. Some of you might be preparing to tune out at this point, but actually it's a relatively simple proof. It fits in two slides, and it is quite interesting because it's rather different from the usual lower bounds on generalization error. The lower bound construction relies on a construction of the following convex function over d-dimensional unit ball, which is convex and one Lipschitz. This function is zero almost everywhere, except for the set W of the directions, in which it grows as it approaches the boundary of the ball. And at the boundary of the ball, it achieves the value of 1/8. So in d dimensions, one can choose these directions to be sufficiently far apart so that the areas where the function grows do not overlap. This means that we can, for any subset v of all the directions W, we can define a function which grows only in the directions which are included in that subset and is zero in all the other directions. Now let me define a distribution over these functions. Distribution D will be defined as follows. We'll pick a random subset V of all the directions by including each element of W with probability 1/2 randomly and independently. And we'll output function G sub V. It is easy to see that the expected function for this distribution is exactly G over 2 because each of the directions of growth is included with probability 1/2. Now let's look at the empirical objective for this function. For this purpose, we'll denote by S the set of all the functions that we have observed, and we'll denote by V1 through Vn the sets of directions that define these functions. We'll first observe that if there exists a direction W star that is not included in any of the sets of directions that we have observed, then the empirical objective on that W star will be equal to 0. And 0 is also the minimum of the empirical objective, so this function is a solution to the ARM problem. At the same time, the expected objective is equal to 1/16 at that point because the expected objective grows in all the directions. So now the question is, when does such direction W star exist? And this question is basically the question, when is the union of n random subset not equal to the whole set? And a simple exercise in probability shows that if n is less than log of the size of the set of directions, which in our case is d over 6, then this probability is large. It's greater than 1/2. As you can see, this is exactly the kind of lower bound that we are trying to prove. If the number of samples does not grow linearly with the dimension, then the generalization error that we'll have will be large, in this case 1/16. That's all that I wanted to say about the lower bound. Let me briefly mention some extensions that you can find in the paper. First of all, it's relatively easy to show that the same lower bound extends beyond the Euclidean setting and applies to so-called LP norm Lipschitz bounded setting, which is just the LP norm analog of the settings that was that I've described before. Another extension in the paper addresses the following issues. The functions that we have used in the lower bound have exponential in D description and therefore cannot be computed efficiently. So a natural question to ask, would the lower bound apply to functions that can be computed efficiently? And I show that the answer is yes. There's actually a distribution which is supported just over just D functions, and each of those functions is computable in linear time. And there is a lower bound, essentially the same lower bound for this distribution. Finally, an interesting question to address is the role of regularization in this problem. And as I mentioned before, the work of Sharif-Schwarz et al. Shows that if you add a small strongly convex regularization term, then the lower bound will be circumvented. And it's interesting to understand whether other types of regularization will also solve this problem. What I show is that actually strong convexity is actually important, and for example, L1 regularization will not prevent this problem. So that's all that I wanted to say about the results. Let me just briefly recap them. So the main technical result is that in some of the most basic settings of stochastic convex optimization, the solution to the ARM can have generalization error, which is much worse than generalization error obtained by other standard methods. An important implication of this is the generalization error of a solution obtained given by an optimization algorithm depends on the optimization algorithm itself. This means that in order to design good optimization algorithm for learning problems, we need to understand which optimization algorithms produce solutions that generalize well. It turns out that this is a very hard question. For example, we don't even know if running gradient descent on the empirical objective will produce a solution that generalizes well. And it turns out we do have some techniques to address this type of question, most notably stability, but it also seems that we need many more techniques to understand this question better. Thanks a lot, and please let me know if you have any questions.
Very nice work.
So
if I'm not mistaken, the lower bound is d over n, and the upper bound for your m is square root of d over n. So can you comment on this gap?
There is a gap between for ERM. That gap can be removed if you're actually asking for uniform convergence. Then I can get a lower bound that is tight. But in general, yeah, it's a very interesting question how to close that gap.
Thanks.
Yeah, I don't know. Okay. Okay. Two in one. It's okay, sorry.
Okay, if there are no other questions, then thanks, Vitaly.
Okay.